DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual direction according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He is featured on several series found on the Eternal Word television network. He's also the author of numerous books on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, as well as other works focused on aspects of the spiritual life. A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
All right, this next is a year later, and this is Zélie writing to Pauline. From this point on, we'll have a lot of letters of Zélie to Pauline, who was still at the boarding school in Le Mans. Marie, the oldest, had finished her studies and was back home, and she was actually taking over the education of Léonie at this point, and Céline as well. And so Pauline is the one daughter who is away at the boarding school. Zélie writes regularly to her, but something develops as she does. There's a kind of a bond and understanding between mother and daughter. Pauline almost becomes a kind of confidant for Zélie. I'm not dissatisfied with my Léonie. If we could manage to triumph over her stubbornness and make her more cooperative, we could make her a good girl, devoted and not afraid of difficulty. She has a will of iron, and when she wants something, she overcomes every obstacle to get what she wants. Her aunt had already mentioned this in a letter that we read earlier, and this will be another key trait that's going to see Léonie through many struggles, repeated failure after failure, and she simply will not give up. When that quality, the will of iron, that when she wants something, no obstacle will turn her aside, once that gets turned toward God, toward grace, toward saying yes to the Lord, then there really is a space there for God to work in a very rich way. But she's not at all devout. She prays to God only when she can't do otherwise. And the faith of her daughters meant everything to the parents and obviously to Zélie, so that this is hard for her to see this. This afternoon, I made her come by my side and read some prayers. But soon she'd had enough and said to me, "Mama, tell me the life of our Lord Jesus Christ." I wasn't sure I wanted to tell the story because it tires me out a lot. This woman who has a flourishing business and 5 children and a household and who gets exhausted because it tires me out a lot and I always have a sore throat. Finally, I made the effort and I told her the life of our Lord. When I arrived at the Passion, she was overcome with tears. It made me happy to see her have these feelings.
Zélie, at this point, probably is in the beginnings of her breast cancer, correct? I mean, we're getting close to that time, aren't we?
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Yeah, so that can play very much in the fatigue and a lot of what's going on here too, correct?
Oh, I'm quite confident of that. Zélie and Thérèse had this in common, that they simply spent their humanity without limits until the moment of their death. Both of them are similar in this. They just gave every last ounce of energy that they had without thought of self, without looking for mitigations. You know, these letters that we're reading, we need to remember that she's had full days with the children and her business. As I mentioned, at times she could have up to 30 women. These were part-time, the women who would have their own families and so on, but would give some hours every week to create this lace that was so famous and that Zélie knew how to do so well, that she was very much in demand. In fact, it's one thing we can say that Léonie learned to sew very well. And there are things that she sewed still conserved in that you can look at. You can find pictures of them online. It's just some remarkable needlework. But to write these letters, her mother would need to begin when the children were in bed and the day was done. Sometimes she'll mention that she's just spent 2 hours writing. One night she finishes at 10:30 after 4 hours of writing at the end of a day. So these letters themselves, reaching out to stay in touch with her children and family members, were often written at the cost of some fatigue and some self-sacrifice. So this is to Pauline. Léonie is now 13. I must take Léonie to the catechism class on perseverance. So the custom was they would make their first communion, and then a year later they would have a second solemn communion. And that's probably what's at play here. This is the last time because her second solemn communion, so that is what's taking place here, will take place on Sunday, May 21st, which is a week later. As always, Léonie is looking forward to being all in white. Up till now, the material side strikes her more than the spiritual. Yet she hears the other world spoken of so much that she herself speaks of it often, but this only touches her lightly. Oh well, let's hope in God's mercy toward this child. In some respects, I have many consolations. I'm very happy with Marie, and her ideas please me. This is the opposite of Léonie. So Léonie is a source of worry for her, and the other daughters are a source of consolation. 5 months later to Pauline. I believe that Céline, younger than Léonie, will give me many consolations. She has an angelic nature. She's already seriously thinking about what she'll have to do to make her first communion. You know, it strikes me as I'm reading these that this is how ordinary all of this is. This is a mother raising her daughters, raising her children, and concerned about how they're responding to this or their studies or their catechism. It's very much like the life of any family. God is very good to grant me compensations which diminish the bitterness my poor Léonie causes me. That's a strong word, the bitterness, the suffering, the heartache. I can't get through to her anymore. Now, Léonie is 13 at this point, and there's a mystery. Now, for some reason, Zélie, who is so loving and whose family members love her to death, her husband and her daughters, and who reaches out with the same love to this daughter, Léonie, finds herself repulsed, and she cannot understand what's going on here, that there's some kind of a mystery that is unraveled. I can't get through to her. She does only what she wants and as she wants. She just noticed that I was writing and said to me, "Mama, don't say anything to my aunt about me. I'll never do it again." So she's obviously acted out in some way. Zélie is writing to Pauline, who is at the boarding school where the aunt is as well, and quite likely that whatever is written to Pauline will be shared with the aunt. And so Léonie, who has such esteem for her aunt, just doesn't want her to hear about whatever way she's acted out. I didn't answer her, but she started again so as to prevent me from writing. To have peace, I said no. And I'll watch what Zélie says here. I'm not lying because it's not to her aunt I'm saying it, but to you. That is to Pauline. Oh, well, here is everyday life, which isn't cheerful, I assure you. But often, to console myself, I think of my dear Pauline, who makes my consolation. It's a balm to my wound, and I find myself happy. Marie also makes me happy. Later in the same letter, here's Léonie coming downstairs to bring me my rosary, and who's saying to me, "Do you love me, Mama? I won't disobey you anymore." You can hear the pathos in that. Sometimes she has good moments and good resolutions, but they don't last. Now, this next letter is written in, well, precisely January 8th, 1877. And this is about 5 weeks before Zélie's sister will die. She had very poor health, and it was evident that she was weakening. For months, they'd known it. They knew that she wasn't going to last too much longer. And in this letter, Zélie is recounting to her sister-in-law what proved to be her last visit with her sister in the convent at Le Mans. And at this point in the letter, Léonie comes up. "Here are the messages that I gave my sister for heaven. I told her, the moment you're in heaven, so as soon as you get there, go and find the Blessed Mother and tell her, 'My good mother, you played a joke on my sister by giving her poor Léonie. She's not a child like the one she asked you for, and you must fix this.'" I'll interject into this that Léonie herself was so aware of how different she was from the others that at one point she became really worried, and she was afraid that she had been exchanged as a child at birth, that she really wasn't a daughter in this family. And her mother had to reassure her that, no, that was not the case. All right, so say to the Blessed Mother, "You really played a joke on my sister by giving her poor Léonie, and you have to fix this." then go and find Blessed Margaret Mary. That's now St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, as we know her today. In response to the novena made by her aunt, well, as Zélie always firmly believed, as a result of that novena, Léonie survived those first difficult 16 months. So go and find Blessed Margaret Mary and tell her, why did you miraculously cure her? It would have been much better to let her die. Bound by conscience to repair this misfortune. If she's going to turn out this way, why did you spare her? So you too, like Our Lady, you have a responsibility to repair this. So she tells her sister-in-law that her aunt didn't really think this was the way you speak to Our Lady and to a saint. She scolded me for talking like this, but Zélie stands her ground. But I didn't have any bad intention, and God knows this very well.
She sounds like a mom who is at her wit's end.
She is very much.
And you're dealing with, and I can speak to this probably a little bit more personally than guys could. This is a time in a young girl's life where hormonally there can be some great fluxes. I'm going to try to say this as delicately as I can. But as women, we're very aware that our moods will swing given the particular time of the month it is. And that could have played a part if she's already dealing with certain issues, whether if they were indeed physical, if she was a possibly, and I say again, possibly on a spectrum, such as autism, but then you throw in the natural course of a young woman's body, that could play a lot. And as the mother of two women myself, that gets to be a very challenging time of life. Do you think I said that delicately enough?
Yes. And you're absolutely the right person to bring that into the conversation. It's helpful. Just fills out the picture in another way.
Yeah. There's all kinds of dynamics you can see being played. A mother that loves her so much, but is at the wit's end. It's that one who just, what more can I do? And then on top of that, physically, on top of all the other stresses of life, she's dealing with an underlying illness that she may not be fully aware of yet.
Oh, at this point, Zélie is utterly aware. I haven't gone into these details because we're telling Léonie's story, but the diagnosis is clear. She's very afraid she may not have much more time to live. And in fact, she will die later in this same year. So at this point, since we've raised it, we're in January. She will die in August of this same year when Léonie is 14. This 14th year in Léonie's life is really the pivotal year, as we'll see as this unfolds. Not that all the struggles would be over at this point, but this was the decisive year in her life. So this next letter is written 10 days after the preceding. It's written on January 18th of this year, 1877. And just about 5 weeks later, on February 24th, Sister Marie Docité, Léonie's aunt, will die, actually. So Léonie is well aware that these are the final days of her aunt, and she wants to write a letter to her before she dies. Yesterday, she said to Marie, "I'm going to write to my aunt in Le Mans before she dies and give her my messages for heaven. I want her to ask God to give me a religious vocation." So there it is, very strongly early on here. Marie pretended to make fun of her to see what she would say. Marie is really interesting. Sometimes she intuits things that nobody else sees, but other times she misses what's happening. And in this case, now, don't want to be too hard on her here. Nobody knew how to make any sense out of Léonie, and she was always doing things that were just kind of foolish or didn't make sense. So Marie simply presumes that this is another little will-o'-the-wisp or something that's floated into her mind. Marie pretended to make fun of her to see what she would say, but she persisted and said, "Everybody can make fun of me. I don't care. But I want to tell her this before she dies." Finally, today, she wrote her letter all by herself without saying a word to her, without anyone saying a word to her to give her any ideas. This is what she wrote. So this would be referred by others, the only other letter of Léonie that we have before the age of 19. "My dear aunt, I still treasure the picture you gave me. I look at it every day to become obedient. That's the big struggle because she's so undisciplined and self-willed and will not fit into any structure at school or at home. That will be a big issue for her throughout her life. I look at it every day to become obedient, like you told me to. Marie framed it for me. My dear aunt, when you're in heaven, please ask God to give me the grace of converting me and also to give me the vocation of becoming a true religious. That word true will come back. Because I think of it every day, I beg you, don't forget my little message, because I'm sure that God will answer your prayer. Goodbye, my dear aunt. I kiss you with all my heart, your very loving niece. So Zeli asks of her sister-in-law, what do you think of this? As for me, I'm very surprised. But where did she get these ideas? It certainly wasn't me who put these ideas in her head. I'm quite convinced that without a miracle, Leonie could never enter community life. So she's well aware of this. You know, the structure and the order of even cloistered religious life, like the visitation, how is the undisciplined Leonie ever possibly going to live this? It's her future that worries me the most. I say to myself, what will become of her if I'm no longer here? So she's well aware that she may not live that much longer. I don't dare think about it. But I assure you that this little letter renews my courage, and I find myself hoping that perhaps God has merciful plans for this child. And the next sentence is just remarkable. If it only took the sacrifice of my life for her to become a saint, I would give it willingly. If it only took the sacrifice of my life for her to become a saint, I would give it willingly. She's really a model of motherhood, it seems to me, you know, as I read about her.
Yeah. Wow.
And she writes that knowing that she may be giving her life before too much longer. All right, she goes and she describes the same incident 3 days later in a letter to Pauline this time. See, I would have liked a few words from your aunt for Leonie. There's quite a story behind this. Last Wednesday, while Marie was giving the class, Leonie said in a very serious tone of voice, I want to write to my aunt before she dies and give her my messages for heaven. Marie, very surprised, asked her what it was about. She told her that she wanted to be a religious, and her aunt would have to obtain this grace for her. Marie made fun of her, but she persisted, and Thursday morning she wrote her note, which I think is rather good for her. I said to Marie that evening, there's one thing that surprises me. It's that she wrote a true religious. Marie, also surprised, said, I really wanted her to erase the word true. I pointed out to her that it didn't mean anything, but she stood firm saying, please let me put it in. I want it to be that way. The next day, Marie asked her, what does that mean, true religious? Leonie answered, it means that I want to be a completely good religious and in the end become a saint. Now let's note these two things that Leonie, who has this will of iron and who will not give up, the two things that she really wants. She wants to be not only a religious, a nun, but a completely good religious, and she wants to become a saint. I don't know what I should think of all of this because the poor child is covered in faults like a blanket. We don't know how to handle her. And this is what you've been pointing out, Chris. And it's this mystery that there's something unaccounted for here. There's some piece in the equation that nobody can understand. Zeli will say this in a letter that trying to take care of this child and manage this child is so difficult that even doctors, literally, she says, would lose their Latin trying to do this, that even the wisest would have no answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to handle her, but God is so merciful that I've always had hope and I still hope. Well, here is Zeli writing in a letter to Pauline this time. And in them, she describes Leonie and as simply uncontrollable, that unless fear was the only thing that would stop her from acting out, otherwise, if you gave her any freedom, any rein at all, the whole house would be in confusion, just impossible. Either that or she would hurt herself in some way, that there just was no peace in the house. Here you get a glimpse of it. At noon, I told her to make some sacrifices to conquer her bad mood, and that for each victory, she should put a hazelnut in a drawer. This was in a drawer I pointed out to her, and we would count them that evening. This was a practice, was about them in living the spiritual life at the time, and it was certainly in the Martin family, where you would make sacrifices or do things for the Lord, and then in some way you would count these. I'm just remembering as I say this that my mom did that with us on occasion. During Lent, she had a practice where each of us would have a glass jar, and then there were just ordinary beans, hard little beans. And every time you did something for someone else in the family or something like that, you could put one in there. And then there'd be some kind of reward, you know, at the end of Lent or something like that. Well, it's that sort of practice here. She was very happy about this, but there were no more hazelnuts. I made her bring me a cork that I cut into 7 little slices. That evening, I asked her how many practices or deeds there were. None. She'd done the worst she could. I wasn't happy and scolded her bitterly, telling her that she certainly shouldn't ask to be a religious under these conditions. Then she started to cry. It must have been just Zaylee at her wit's end at this point. It just cannot make sense out of this child, feels helpless. And so she scolds her. This never worked with Leonie. And we'll see, Zaylee will discover this. Then she started to cry because she was sincerely repentant, and she flooded my face with her tears. Today, there are already little slices of cork in the drawer. Now, and this will give us another insight into Leonie. Same letter to Pauline. So you can see what Zaylee is doing. You know, she's staying up at night. She's tired, but she's just sharing the little doings of the family to encourage and just to keep Pauline abreast, and she knows Pauline will love all of this. Now, I must tell you about an adventure that happened to us last night. The maid, this is Louise, who will be returning in the story soon. The maid was in the process, of course, a maid, because with the business and the children, Zaylee and her health, Zaylee simply couldn't keep up with things. The maid was in the process of drying the dishes. It was already dark, so it's evening, and she was getting ready to cut the bread for the soup when she was interrupted. Leonie, always quick to help her, let's just note that. Leonie, who is always so difficult, is always quick to help the maid, took hold of the bread and sliced it. Finally, here is the soup ready to serve, with the soup poured over the bread. It was a puree of pea soup, which Marie likes a lot. She said, Papa's at a grand dinner at Monsieur Vital's house, who is a good friend of his, member of a Catholic circle in Alençon, but he won't have soup as good as this. We all sat down to the table. I began to serve the soup, but I couldn't push the spoon in. I felt a tremendous resistance. I said to Louise, what have you put in here? I can't find any bread. Are there only vegetables on the bottom of the soup tureen? Finally, I tried to pull up whatever was blocking the spoon, and after many tries, I pulled up, and she has 3 little dots, the dish towel. Leonie had cut the bread over it without noticing it, so she'd put the dish towel together with the bread into the soup. So that's Leonie, you know, heart of gold, but something goes, something that doesn't work out for her, and this will be a pattern so often for her. The soup wasn't eaten, but on the other hand, we had a good laugh. Your father said it was like the little shoe of the man from Auvergne. It's not that dirty, it's that it takes up space. You know the song. Marie, now look at this. Marie didn't want me to tell you this. Last night I heard her say, I'm sure Mama is going to tell Pauline, and the teachers will know I'm ashamed of it. Which is a little insight into what it was like to be the sister of Leonie, who would do these things that would make you cringe with embarrassment. And then Marie, to think that all the teachers and the nuns back at the boarding school are all going to learn about this. She's just embarrassed and ashamed of this whole thing. Zaylee says, I answered, I'll tell her all the same. They can laugh about it if they want. The conclusion of this same letter. Goodbye, my Pauline. If your letter hasn't been sent, all the better, because I would very much like a few words for Leonie. I would like her aunt to write something to Leonie. This poor child went to the instructions at the retreat every morning at 6 o'clock. So this is in the morning, and there's a retreat. I'm not sure. Maybe this is in preparation for that second solemn communion, but something along these lines. She went to the instructions at the retreat every morning at 6 o'clock. She was very afraid of failing. I didn't want to wake her up so early, but she woke up on her own. Once she didn't have time to put on her shoes, and without anyone noticing, she went wearing some kind of worn-out slippers. Fortunately, it was dark out, but she was strongly scolded, and I told her she wouldn't do that again. I kiss you with all my heart. So there's Leonie again. Just embarrassing, just unaware that she's, you know, just doing things that are going to appear odd to others.
Very eccentric. You know, and the thing is, those are the kind of shoes, if you can picture it, and I'm sure people have seen that, they're the kind that go up more past the ankle, near the calf, that have to be laced up. So it would have taken time to put your foot in the shoe. So it's not like slipping on a shoe and running out the door. You'd have to do some work. And she was so nervous, or focused, or just wanted to get out there. She didn't think of the social ramifications. She had shoes on. She had something covering her feet. So she ran out the door.
It may be that she just woke up a little later than usual, too, and had to scramble. Who knows? Yeah. Any of those situations.
Yeah.
All right. 2 months later to Pauline. And this is a lovely letter, which in a different context, it'd be nice to go through entirely. And Zaylee's aware that she doesn't know for certain yet, but she's almost looking back over her married life and describing it to Pauline. And she, at this point, she's talking about when they started having the children. But when we had our children, our ideas, her and her husband's, about their marriage, our ideas changed somewhat. We lived only for them. She says in another letter that I was born to have children. They were all our happiness, and we never found any except in them. In short, nothing was too difficult, and the world was no longer a burden to us. For me, our children were a great compensation, so I wanted to have a lot of them in order to raise them for heaven. And it's hard to doubt that the 9 of their children are in eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
4 of them are already in a better place. So those are the 2 boys and the 2 girls who died at an early age. The others, yes, the others will go there as well, to the heavenly kingdom, laden with more merits, since they will have fought much longer. It's only Leonie, who's still a very heavy cross to bear. May her dear aunt obtain for me a change in my poor child. I'm always hoping for it. This evening, she came to ask me if she could see her aunt's mementos. Celine and Therese looked at them at the same time and kissed them.
We'll continue this conversation with Father Gallagher in our next episode. You've been listening to A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Leonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. Or you can find it on the Discerning Hearts free app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Leonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher.